Good morning and welcome back to the Dante Blogs Morning Coffee Podcast. Hope you have a great morning, great day, maybe a cup of coffee or maybe a cup of tea. So this is the second episode of the day. This is the first time ever, but we had a couple of days of a break this week and we just keep reading in the Paradiso and we just wanted to share kind of the whole second part of Canto 16 because it's kind of a unit where Dante goes into this long elaboration of the ancient families in Florence. So we're just going to look at this as a kind of an overall portion of Canto 16 and the sphere of Mars. And then we're going to pick out a couple of the tercets, especially the ending. So as we had in the previous episode, just like a few hours ago, when Cacciaguida is talking about how virtuous the old Florence was, like in his time around 1100, before the rise of the merchant class, which is a very crucial part of city development in Europe, like in a wider sense. Like Florence was one of those commercial centers where you actually started to have, if you will, a middle class or a merchant class that gained power and wealth and became, in the beginning, like a threat, but eventually actually became a force that transformed the whole organization of society from the feudal age with just aristocracy and the peasants to then having like a separate class of the merchants in the cities, like the guild people especially. So the last thing we had was that he talks about in the way that the goddess of fortune, like the wheel of fortune, La Fortuna, is making things go up and down. In the same way, he talks about the destinies of cities and also the destinies of families. And he said, so because of this, there should be no wonder that many of these great dynasties and families and houses that I will be talking about now is or has been hidden by time itself. And then we get 22 tercets with something like 26, 27 different families. So this is a very kind of a solid history telling of this time. And it's also like this part, and if you combine it with Villani, when he talks about like the chronicles and this period of history in Italy, it gives you a kind of a nice picture. So just for the tone note, we're going to do a couple of things in the beginning here. So he says then, io vidi Liughi e vidi I Catalini, Filippi, Greci, Ormanni e Albericchi, già nel calare illustri cittadini. So this is like different families and they are illustrious citizens. E vidi così grandi come antichi, con quel della Sanella, quel de l'Arca e Saldanieri, e Ardinghi e Bosticchi. So these are then great grand families all the way since antiquity. So this is again where Cacciaguida is making the link from Florence to the Roman Empire. Like the glory of the Roman Empire, and then some of the families also then moved and lived in Florence. And then it keeps going here. Sovra la porta che al presente è carca, di nuova felonia di tanto peso che tosto fia iatura della barca. And then he starts then with families that are starting to influence like the boat of Florence. And you just get a long, long list there, which is way too detailed. But we're going to jump towards the end here because he talks about one essential family, which is the Buondelmonti. Because they are the family that, according to Dante, is kind of the trigger of the whole war, civil war in Florence. And then with the Guelphs and the Ghibellini that he himself was a part of, he was a Guelph, and then that is partly why he was exiled in 1301 or 1302. So we're going to look at now this triggering moment. So this is one family member of the Buondelmonti family. His name was Buondelmonte. So it is Buondelmonte de Buondelmonti. That's his name. So he was murdered in 1216. He was slain on his wedding day, which in the true Italian mafioso style was then also the Easter day. And he was murdered at the foot of the statue of Mars, the war god, which stood at the beginning of Ponte Vecchio today. And that was also the mark of the southern part of the old Florence. Like the northern part was the baptistry, and then the Mars statue was at the southern part. And then because of family strife, he was then murdered by that statue. So Dante talks about this, and he said then, says here that ma convienisi a quella pietra schema che guarda il ponte che Fiorenza fesse vittima nella sua pace postrema. So, but it was convenient or kind of fitting at the fragment of the stone, meaning then the remnants of what was once the statue of Mars, that looks at the bridge, which is then Ponte Vecchio, the old bridge in Florence, that Florence made victim in its final part of the peace. Like, so this is where La Sua Pace, like it's like her peace, Florence's peace, the end of it, ends with this incident and the murder. And this tercet is also, it is a plaque at Ponte Vecchio today, so you can see it. If you go to Florence, you can see this little, just a quote from Dante's Paradiso. And After that, like, then there's just like two tercets left of this whole canto. So we had this long list of glorious, illustrious families, and then a couple of the problematic ones. And then Cacciaguida, in this speech, is ending it here with pointing to this point where it happens. And then you have this eruption of a civil war in Florence. And he ends this canto saying then, con questi genti e con altre con esse vidio Fiorenza in si fatto riposo che non avea cagione onde piangesse. So Cacciaguida is describing the earliest part of this. So he said, like, with these people, all these families he has now mentioned, and with other ones as well, I saw Florence made like tranquil, peaceful, serene, idyllic, that not had any reason, any cause from whence to cry or to mourn or to be sorrow, in sorrow. So that's one part of the, he describes the beginning, and then he also says, con questi genti vidio glorioso e giusto il popolo suo. So with these people, these families, the virtuous ones, I saw the glory and the justness, of its people, tanto che il giglio non era ad asta mai posto a ritroso. I mean, like, he never saw this giglio, this lily flower emblem of Florence, never, like, they had this pole with it on top, it was never put the other way, which is how they started to do it when they conquered a city. They took kind of the city flag, the city standard, and then put it on a pole and then dragged it like at the bottom to just signify defeat or like victory and the defeat of the city. So that did not happen. And also, ne per division fatto vermiglio. And then also not for division was made red because it changed the color also. So this was done in, as a part of this ongoing back and forth with the Guelphs and Ghibellini, which is like a giant topic and is very confusing and complicated. But in 1251, then the Guelphs, they threw the Ghibellines out of the city, and then they changed the flag of Florence, the standard of Florence, from having a white lily on the red field, and then they made it a red lily instead on a white field. So they just inversed the flag, which is then becoming just a symbol of the civil war, the strife, the conflicts, the violence, and all these things that came as Florence started to grow as a city, and it came with the rise of the merchant class and this whole upheaval from the old, tranquil, more harmonious city. So that's all we wanted to say in this one. So this was again like 22 tercets from Cacciaguida. He's saying that I will now kind of list all the glorious families of the old Florence, and don't be surprised if you have heard of very few of them. And in a sense, you can also say that Dante here is, as part of this idea of courage and virtue, that Dante is lifting all of these families, kind of in a sense out of, to some extent, like being forgotten and putting them into his poem and making them famous and known for centuries afterwards. So there's a kind of, Dante is showing here a way of elevating virtue and more kind of spiritual and virtuous, admirable families in his poem. And then also then marking the end of it. So that is where Canto 16 ends. Also with the color red, vermilio. And it's like we're in the sphere of Mars. We met the great-grandfather. He comes from this cross, from the arm of, like the end of one of the arms down to the center of the cross and then down to the foot and talks with Dante. And now we have like a full canto, which is mostly just local history for Florence. And for those who are very interested in this period, it's kind of a gold mine and a treasure trove of scenes and details. Okay, so with that, we're going to stop this one here, and then we're going to continue with Canto 17 later, and that is the middle canto of the whole Paradiso. That is the center canto, the heart of the whole Paradiso. So that's going to be a lot of fun, and then hope some of this was interesting, and I hope you're still having a great day, maybe a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and we'll be back soon with another episode. See you then.